was the ready signal. Terran activated her comlink and ordered Turi Altomic to bring the supply van around. As she spoke, Han and the rest of the rescue team were tearing off their goggles and respirators and removing weapons and equipment vests from the hoverscaff tool bins. By the time Turi arrived, Han was outfitted with his blaster belt, a vest full of assorted grenades, a hands-free comlink, and a T-21 repeating blaster set to stun. Zek and the rest of the Jedi were traveling a little lighter, with only their lightsabers, a couple of grenades apiece, hands-free comlinks, blaster pistols, also set to stun, and the standard assortment of Jedi equipment that always seemed useless until the instant it was needed. Terran waved the supply van alongside Han's hoverscaff. Actually a Cygnus 7 armored transport vehicle, it had been disguised by overlaying a set of artificial body panels bearing the colors and logo of Run-Kill Exterminators. The panels, of course, could be jettisoned at the push of a button, and the powertrain had been augmented with enough quad feeds and thrust boosters to give an Aerotech beam streak a good race. A side panel swished open to reveal C-3PO and R2-D2 standing in the doorway.
"Oh, there you are, Captain,"
R2-D2 interrupted with a sharp tweet.
"Who are you calling across the circuit? Of course I know we're undercover."
R2-D2 whistled an angry reply.
"Come on, you two."
Holding the repeating blaster in one hand, Han lifted the access gate in the rear safety rail. A narrow boarding ramp shot out from the Cygnus 7, bridging the half-meter distance between its side door and the hoverscaff.
"We don't have all day."
R2-D2 rolled onto the ramp and was across in a second, but C-3PO took one look at the traffic-choked chasm below and activated his self-preservation routines.
"Are you quite certain that my presence is required? My gyro servers have been sticking."
"Quit stalling,"
Han ordered. He pointed at the foam-covered cam bubble, then held a finger to his lips.
"You've got vibration detectors to calibrate."
"Very well."
C-3PO put a tentative foot onto the ramp, wobbled, and raised both arms for balance.
"But if I should happen to slip, please tell Princess..."
"No one's slipping."
Han leaned over the safety rail and grabbed the droid's arm, guiding him forward, until the simultaneous crackle of two thermal detonators roared behind him. C-3PO raised his arms to shield his photoreceptors from the flash and nearly pulled Han halfway over the rail. Han raised a knee and managed to catch the rail between his thigh and waist, leaving them both hanging over a kilometer and a half of whirring nothingness. C-3PO's arms began to wag wildly, threatening to rip free of Han's grasp or break his hold on the safety rail and send them both plummeting down into the sky lane.
"3PO, stop that!"
Han ordered.
"Are you trying to get us killed?"
"Of course not, sir,"
C-3PO replied. He lowered his arms at exactly the wrong moment, and Han found himself struggling to keep the droid from falling toward him.
"Droids can't be killed, only destroyed."
Han dropped the blaster onto the hoverscaff and grabbed for the safety rail, but he was already starting to fall backward.
"Oh dear,"
C-3PO cried, now leaning away.
"You seem to be pulling me off the..."
A fierce pang of agony shot up Han's arm as the droid's weight banged it down on the safety rail. The joints started to hyperextend. Then Han felt himself rising and starting to flip over the rail after C-3PO.
"Hold on,"
Zek yelled.
"Hold on,"
Han cried, trying not to think about all the things that were going to tear as soon as the droid's weight snapped his elbow straight.
"Are you crazy?"
But Han's arm never reached full extension. Instead, he felt himself sinking into the velvet hand of the Force. He looked over to find Zek gesturing in his direction, floating him and C-3PO over the safety rail back onto the hoverscaff. Their feet had barely touched the deck before C-3PO was in front of Han, arms spread wide.
"Captain Solo, you just risked your life to prevent my untimely destruction. Could you be suffering some manner of cognitive malfunction?"
"Obviously,"
Han growled.
"And
can we get on with the rescue?"
Zek interrupted. He retrieved the repeating blaster from the deck and passed it to Han, then glanced up the detention center wall.
"After those detonators, they know we're here."
Han nodded, glared at C-3PO, then slipped the blaster strap over his shoulder, and looked up in time to see Jaina and Leia disappearing through a still smoking breach in the detention center wall. The 5-meter hole was perfectly round and clean, with sharp edges and a total lack of rubble, which was why thermal detonators were the favorite tool of demolition crews and urban assault squads alike. Han glanced down to check on Squad Savatu and saw an identical breach on the 1910 level. With Seth Helen and Kunar Bon already inside the building, and Atua Wan and Yakil Savatu just leaping off their hoverscaf into the hole. Like Jaina and Leia, their lightsabers remained unactivated, a sign that the detention center guards had not yet arrived to mount a defense.